I'm roped up for a while, I'd love to have a Swiss steak, you know, or I'd like to have anything that Cindy makes me, you know, if I'm away from her. Anything she would make would be great. When we were in the Czech Republic, our kids always wanted to have a Whopper from Burger King, or, you know, Oreo cookies, because you couldn't get those there. It wasn't that they ate those when they came to the United States, but you couldn't get those. And he doesn't pray about any of that kind of stuff that he couldn't have. He doesn't pray about anything physical. He doesn't pray that God would change his circumstances. You know, often we pray, you know, that God would get us out of whatever problem we're in, but he doesn't pray that way. He doesn't pray about anything about himself. Like, you know, if you're in chains, wouldn't you want to pray that God would get these chains off of you? You know, he doesn't pray that way. But he prays for them. He prays for their spiritual welfare. He prayed that God, through the Holy Spirit, would reveal to them wisdom and knowledge of himself. And the word knowledge there is gnosko. It refers to experiential type of knowledge. Not just reading in a book, but actually living, walking with Jesus, you're going to learn this stuff. There's no other way to do that with some things. And it's really a precise and thorough understanding of the things that God wants us to know. Pray that they might know this so that the eyes of their hearts might see correctly. So they might mature spiritually in Jesus Christ. So they might know God intimately and personally. So, as I said, these following verses are an example of prayer for us. Do you want to know how to pray? Do you want to know how to pray so that people will grow in their faith? This is one of the greatest prayers in the whole Bible. Eyewitness account, word for word, exactly the way Paul prayed. It's the greatest prayer we'll probably ever read. And will help us to know how to pray. So today, let's look at three reasons that their eyes, if prayer is initially, like at the beginning, for the people in Ephesus, but also for us, that their eyes and their hearts and our eyes and our hearts might see. So first reason, so that they might understand and appreciate the greatness of God's purpose. Look at verse 18. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which God has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. God's purpose is the hope of his calling. They were called at salvation. So that they might have hope. You know, hope in the Bible doesn't mean I hope so. You know, I hope that I'll get a bicycle at Christmas time. Hope in the Bible refers to absolute certainty of victory in Christ, assurance for the future. And they had that hope in Christ. And you know, they certainly lived in a town, a city, Ephesus, maybe 250,000 people. Where there wasn't much hope. Because people there were willfully ignorant of God. They were openly practicing idolatry. They worshipped this guy, this Diana, who was a false god, who was an idol. You know, but all of that had changed for those who became believers in Jesus Christ. They knew that this old way of life didn't work. They knew where that led. They said, I've been there. I've done that. I've watched my brothers. I've watched my sisters. I've watched my dad and mom live that way. I know that doesn't work. But what they did have, new faith in Christ did work. They had hope. How has God been helping your hope become more sure? You know, a Christian should always be growing in their hope and their knowledge of God. Warren Wiersbe, who I like a lot, writes, To know God personally is salvation. To know God increasingly is sanctification. To know God perfectly is glorification. To know Jesus as Savior is great. It's great. We all need that to get to heaven. But it's only the beginning. We need to know him as Father. We need to know him as friend. We need to know him as guide in our daily lives. The better that we know God, the more satisfying our spiritual lives will be. So the first reason that he prayed that their hearts might be opened, they might understand and appreciate the greatness of God's purpose for them in Christ. This calling, they might have hope, the hope of heaven. It's a wonderful thing. Second reason, they might understand God's riches. It's also in verse 18, but part B. I'll read it again. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Notice the personal pronoun, possessive personal pronoun, his. It says his inheritance, the glory of his inheritance in the saints. We saw last week that we as believers in Jesus Christ have an inheritance waiting on us in the heavenlies. And the Holy Spirit is a pledge or a promise, or even said an engagement ring that guarantees our inheritance, our salvation. But this verse does not talk about our inheritance. It talks about his inheritance. And you know what that inheritance is? It's us. God's inheritance is us, you and me, as believers. In John 17, it talks about that we, when we believe as Jesus, believe in Jesus, were given by Jesus to his heavenly Father as a gift. So we are a part of God's great wealth. At the time of our resurrection, God will inherit those that he purchased through his Son Jesus at a great price, according to the riches of his grace that he supplies for his church. Third reason. Oh, I know my notes well enough and know that I'm not don't have the right things. Third reason, so that we might have understanding about God's power, and that's verses 19 through 23. It says, and his incomparably great power is for us who believe. His power is the key word, the key concept here. And the Greek word there for power is dynamis. And that's where we get the word dynamic or explosive power like dynamite. It also talks about the working of God's strength. How strong is God? I mean, I watched kids wrestle yesterday. I saw some amazing exhibitions of strength, you know, just go in there and grab the guy like Samuel Dilley, go in there and grab the guy, just throw him down and jump on him and pin him, you know, within a minute or so. I mean, it was amazing, amazing, Samuel, amazing. But other kids too, amazing exhibits of strength. God is even stronger than that. Talks about his energy in operation. And all of this is available to us and directed towards us and operating in us. And God wants us to be enlightened about that. Then Paul gives us three examples of the display of his power. The first display, we read in verses 20 and 21, when God raised Christ from the dead. 20 and 21. It says, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but in the one to come. So that display of God's power was unique in raising Christ from the dead. It will never be repeated. And not only was he raised from the dead, but he was put above everything else. Jesus, in this passage, is talked about as being our Savior, but also King. He's also sovereign over everything. So that's the first display of his power. The second display of his power is when God placed all things under Christ's feet. Look at verse 22a. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything else for the church. When Adam sinned, he lost his headship over creation. But when Christ was raised, he was made head over all creation. Everything was placed under his feet. The third display is when God appointed Christ as head of the church. The last part of verse 22 says, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. And this is for all of eternity. I mean, in Rome, how often they replace the Pope, who's the head of the church in Rome? I mean, every 5 years or so, right? Whenever the guy gets too old, he can't do it anymore, or he dies. But Jesus, as head of the church, will never be replaced. He is head of the body. He's connected with the body as the head of the body. And Jesus fills his church. He supplies the church with all the needs that they have. Now, over Christmas break, Cindy and I noticed that our cell phones were not working very well. You know, for old people, you know, technology, computers, cell phones, oh man, this is bad. So they were slow, they weren't working right. So we had to go back to reading the owner's manual to discover how to fix them. It sounds really good, but really it was talking to our sons. They told us how to fix the phones. They did it a lot sooner than what we could have done by reading anything. You know, but if things seem not to be working well in your walk with Christ, you know, maybe what we need to do is go back and read God's owner manual that he left for us, and that's the Bible. The Bible tells us where we should go and what we should do. And to understand the Bible, we have to ask God to enlighten the eyes of our heart so that we understand the hope of his calling. So we understand the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints, as well as the surpassing greatness of his power towards us. And these resources are designed to last forever and ever and ever. You know, Alan at the front door of our church said, George, I'm out of power today. You got any AAA batteries? You know, they don't last very long. So I dug through all my drawer and found three. But then I had to pick all the stuff up that I threw out and find it again. But AAA batteries don't last forever. But the power that God has given us in Christ and exerted in order to raise from the dead and to keep us, Paris for heaven, is eternal. So that's the main idea. The main ideas of Ephesians chapter 1. Paul demonstrated the spiritual blessings that all Christians have in verses 3 through 14, the first sentence. And then he prayed that we would come to know God intimately in verses 15 through 24. In doing so, we will remember our past call of salvation. We remember the future inheritance that God has for all of his saints, as well as the present power that is available to each one of us. Maybe, you're here today, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I remember that time before I came to know Jesus. You know, I'd read the Bible sometimes, my mind would just be distracted. And there was a blindness. There was a spiritual blindness that kept me from coming to Jesus, from understanding what the Bible said. God didn't create us for that. God created us so that we might see. And that vision begins when we trust Jesus as our Savior. Don't wait. Start seeing correctly today, because Christ's death on the cross was for you. You personally, for me personally. He died for you and for me. And we don't want to underestimate that ever. We don't want to wait. We want Jesus to know that we accept his death for us. Come to Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your love for us. Thanks for this awesome, awesome passage that talks about how to pray, how to have an intimate relationship with Jesus in daily life. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Please stand as we sing our closing hymn, number 58, This Is My Father's World.
Singing. Please have a seat. We have some amazing things to talk about and share with you. I'd like to be joined up here by our elders, so Mark McDaniel and Gary Foster and Pastor Tyler. He's probably still teaching Children's Church, but when he gets here, he'll join us. We have four elders in our church. Not all elders are pastors, but all pastors are elders. So Pastor Tyler and I are pastors and elders, and Gary and Martin are our elders that help us tremendously in praying for you and making decisions and doing all kinds of stuff like that, which is cool. I'm glad they're with me, with us. The next group of people I'd like to have join me are those that were either affirmed or chosen to serve on our church official board. So come on forward and stand up here. We went through a long process we have a nominating committee who nominates people from our church membership. And then those people decide whether God could use them in this way or not. And then they're put on a ballot, and then the church decides who they would like to serve for the next year. And in some cases, like deacons, it's more than a year, right? And for trustees, too, it's a little bit more than a year. So not quite like that. And there are other people on our official board that were not affirmed or not chosen this time. Like, we have more trustees and more deacons that are not up here. But I would like everyone to introduce themselves and tell what position you're going to be serving in the coming year.
Martin McDaniel.
Thanks, everyone. Well, guys, let's go ahead and pray then. You know, maybe Pastor Tyler will join us. It's a lot of work teaching those kids. So when he gets done, he'll come and we'll join him to pray with us too. So let's go ahead and pray that God will affirm these people and help them through the coming year.
Father God, thank you for your church. Thank you for making the provision of people to serve in your church. Father, for those of us who serve, not only those who are up front here, but also those who are busy elsewhere, and those who serve in ways that we have not mentioned, I ask for all of us that you give us strength, that you give us wisdom, that you give us discernment, that you help us to devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching through the New Testament, and devote ourselves to prayer. I pray these things in Jesus' name.
Help them, give them strength when they need it. Love them and protect them. In your name.
Father, I praise you for your church. I thank you that you're using your called out ones in order to reach this world for you and to teach others who come to know you more and more about Jesus. Lord, I just pray for each person that was chosen, selected by you, of course, but also affirmed by your people here to serve for the next year in this place. I just pray, God, that you will guide them with each decision that they make and give them wisdom as they serve on our official board, too, have great wisdom beyond their normal capacities to serve you in this place. Lord, I pray you'll protect them. I pray you'll protect their families. I pray that you'll guide them every day as they follow you. And I pray, God, that you will use them in fantastic ways so that Jesus can be seen by more and more people. Lord, I pray for each one of us here today as we think about how Paul prayed for the Ephesians and how we should be praying, not just for lost people, but also saved people, so that people become more in a more intimate knowledge, relationship with Jesus through reading the Bible, through obeying the Word of God, through going through difficult things, you know, that we don't like, and yet somehow use all things together for the good for those who love you and called according to your purpose. Bless us today, Father, as we leave this place. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to thank everyone for being willing to serve on our board as official officers of our church. Thank you very much. Thank you. You're excused. There you go. Good job. Good job, Martin. Thank you.
Is that the benediction? I wasn't quite sure.
Yeah, I did at the end. I prayed for each one of us. as we go out here.